And he showed me a pure water of a river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst say, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I appreciate this opportunity to minister the gospel to you today, and especially on this theme of heaven. What will heaven be like in specific terms? The Bible is very clear that there is a heaven and a hell. There's a place of paradise and there's a place of torment. There is eternal life and eternal destruction. And so what will heaven be like when we open our eyes with new glorified bodies in the presence of the Lord? What will heaven be like? Well, that's very much what we're going to deal with here today in our message based on our Bible reading, Revelation chapter 22. And I hope that you will open your Bible and follow along. Heaven, we know, will be glory. Heaven will be home. Heaven is a place where there is no more pain, no more suffering, no more death, no more sorrow, no more tears. It will be blessed. Blessed are they that enter into the kingdom of God. Stay tuned as we let the Bible speak on heaven, our home.
What makes it heaven is it will never end. We will reign with him forever and ever. And we're going to reign with him. It's not just an existence. It's going to be a marvelous reigning with Christ. Now, I like that we will reign forever and ever. We will reign with Christ because he will reign, because he will win. And as we went through this book of Revelation and all the wars of Satan and all the battles that will be fought against Christ and his church, the Lord wins. He will reign, and we will reign with him forever and ever. In heaven, we're not going to retire to some little sleepy corner and eke out our existence in oblivion. We will actively rule with the Lord Jesus. You'll notice there in verse 3 that we are saved to serve, and his servants shall serve him. And then in verse 5, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now, what will that look like? We are saved here on earth to serve. You're serving the Lord tonight. You're taking time out from life to honor God's day, honor his name, and to build up a witness for the Savior. But heaven, of course, is going to be promotion to serve him. It's going to be like a Canadian ambassador that's maybe sent away over there to Russia or Siberia for a while to be an ambassador for Canada in that difficult land. And then you get the call back home to Ottawa, back to the center of things. That's promotion. Well, the Bible is very consistent about believers reigning with the Lord Jesus. Now, I've already had you to use your Bible quite a bit, but there's more coming. And I want to work backwards a little bit here. Let's go to Revelation 5 and verse 10. Revelation 5, verse 10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, I won't take a lot of time of getting back into the fact that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and the Jerusalem will come down, and there will be this new world order, this reigning on the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. But you'll see there that it says that we will reign on the earth. That's not passivity. That's not do nothing. That's not unemployment. That's being busy, engaged in the work of the Lord. Then back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. Yeah, let's be Bible rustlers tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. And it says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And you can see that there is a reward for whatever you may suffer for Christ in this world. But if we deny him, he will deny us. And there's a warning to the person sitting on the fence, the person who says, I'm not willing to bear the testimony of Christ here on earth. I'm not willing to bear the reproach. Well, if you deny the Lord, he will deny you. But if we suffer, we will also reign with him. Then going backwards again to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? Imagine. Here's what it means to reign with Christ. We will judge over the earth and we will judge angels. That's going to be a work to do. Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? So think of it, redeemed sinners who have been brought out of the rebellion of this world, they're going to reign over angels who never fell, who have never sinned. Such will be the close union between Christ and his people that the angels will look on with amazement. They look into these things and they wonder why. Why did Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, take human nature, human flesh, become identified with men who are fallen creatures, sinners, rebels? And now he brings them into glory and he brings them to share in his reign. This is even marvelous to the angels, and we shall reign with him. And so we will have a work to do. In the Garden of Eden, when God made Adam, he put him to work. He was the keeper of the garden. And even to rule over the animal world, he was to give them all names. He had a work to do. And it was easy employment because there was no sweat. There was no hard labor. Things were easily managed and kept in order. And so in the new heavenly paradise, our kingdom will be blessedly busy. We're going to be busy. For then we will truly do all things to the glory of God. Now here in this world, we're commanded to do that. 1 Corinthians 10, 30, 31. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I hope that you endeavor to do that. But oh, how far we fall short. In heaven, we will serve with excellence and honor God continually. Then add to that, that we will reign forever and ever. Let me read you what Daniel said. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. These are the people of God. And this is eternal life. This is John 3:16. This is Jesus saying, I give to my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, and none shall pluck them out of my hand. And add also to that the fact that we will share in his honor and his glory, as they shared his reproach, they also shall share in his glory. Let me turn you to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 16, here we see this sharing the glory of the Lord. Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So there's that inner witness. There's that inner testimony. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Do you get it? Do you see the reward? Do you see the sharing? That as we suffer with him now, we shall share in his glory in heaven itself. Now, some people conclude that our Lord must be a very hard taskmaster when he asks his own people, whom he says he loves and whom he says he has washed in his own blood, and yet he asks those very people to suffer, even sometimes unto death for him. No, the Lord is not a hard taskmaster, but he rewards according and he multiplies the glory. Someone asked Mr. Spurgeon, do you think that we will see John Wesley in heaven? Now, John Wesley was an Arminian, and there were certain people who had doubts that he would ever make it to heaven. And Mr. Spurgeon surprisingly said, no, I don't think we will see him in heaven, because he will be so close to the Lord, we won't see him for the glory of the Lord. Now, John Wesley was an evangelist preacher who preached in the open air. And it actually was George Whitefield who exhorted the Wesleys to preach in the open fields outside of churches. They had been in the Anglican church, and they felt the only place you could dare preach is inside a church. When the churches were closed to them, then Whitefield, he led the example, and he preached in graveyards and outside churches and in open fields, and exhorted the Wesleys to do the same. And for years, John Wesley in particular had an itinerant ministry, and he preached in cities and towns and hamlets in the British Isles, and for a time in North America. And everywhere he went, there were forces against him. Riots, rocks, bottles. In one occasion in Ireland, he was dragged through the streets with his hair. He suffered for the Lord Jesus. And for that reason, Mr. Spurgeon said, we won't see him because he'll be so taken with the glory of the Lord that he will enjoy right there. Now, does the Bible teach that? That there's going to be rewards for suffering for the Lord Jesus? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. So there's the resurrection. That's how we're going to get there. We enter into glory with new bodies, raised from the dead. And then he adds, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now you can see how he's putting one against the other, a light affliction. Anything we suffer here on earth is light in comparison. And it's for a moment. It's for a little time in comparison to eternity. But you'll notice that that light affliction, which is for a moment, worketh for us. God is going to use that. He's going to make that. He's going to reward us in glory with exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And so to suffer for the Lord Jesus is no lost thing. And verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, what are we serving tonight? Are you serving the material, the seen, the earthly things, or are you living for that glory which is the portion of every child of God and all who may suffer for him? Now, the Lord Jesus taught his disciples that not even a cup of cold water would be given in his name unrewarded. Now, sometimes we quote that briskly and just don't really think about it. Not even a cup of cold water. Whatever we do for Christ in his name, for his kingdom, to show mercy and obey the Lord, that is rewarded. Now, back in the Gospels, maybe in your Bible, there will be a section on rewards. And I thought that these passages would be very helpful to us to understand this tonight. So let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. Now, I know we're moving back and forth in the Bible an awful lot. But I want you to get this from the Bible tonight. I want you to get this right out of the Word itself. And I want you to understand that this is the consistent teaching of Christ, the apostles, and what we learn here in the book of Revelation 22. And so let's go to Matthew 10 and verse 38. Matthew 10, 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So for every Christian, there's going to be a cross of some kind. It's not the cross of Calvary, but it's the cross of reproach, of scorn, that you will be despised and hated of men. There will be a price to pay. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. There it is. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. And so our earthly service and our earthly sacrifices, they are counted and they will be rewarded. Now, I looked up this word reward, and I wanted to know exactly what does it mean. Is it going to just mean a nice shiny halo that would look pretty? No, it means pay for service. Actual payment for service, wages. Now, Mark's gospel. Let's move over there now to Mark chapter 10 and verse 26. Mark 10 and verse 26. And I want to read this little passage right down to verse 30. Mark 10, 26. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all, and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And so this is the true prosperity gospel. This is the true reward system. That in this world, whatever cross we bear, whatever price we pay to serve the Lord faithfully and do His will, whatever it costs to be a Christian on earth, it is going to be repaid, multiplied over in the land of glory. So there are rewards for suffering for the Lord Jesus. This Easter we've been informed of the crucifixions in the Philippines, where you have Roman Catholic-minded people, and I don't know if they're attached to the church directly, but out of some tradition that has developed, they actually crucify themselves, where the blood is gushing out. And they think that through this disfiguring and bruising of themselves and loss of blood, that they're going to gain some kind of merit with God. Now, we know the lie of that. We know it's a deceit, that it is abhorrent to God. Christ on the cross paid it all. But there are people in their darkness of a works religion trying to gain something supposedly with God. Are we willing to suffer for Christ, for the truth, for the gospel? Paul the Apostle himself looked forward to a crown, and he said he had fought the good fight, he had finished the course, and there was laid up for him a crown in heaven. That's the word Stephanos. And in James 1, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. 1 Peter gives us the same. Let me read the second part of it here. For none of those things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And then Revelation 3:11, behold, I come quickly, hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And Hebrews 11:6, that God is a rewarder of them that trust and diligently seek him. God is a rewarder. Our God rewards. And what you endure for him will be multiplied over and over. I'm beat for time tonight, but coming back to Revelation 22, how is all this going to be made possible? Because you'll find there in Revelation 22, three times Jesus said, I come quickly. He rose from the grave, he ascended to God, and he has stated to John, I come quickly. And that's how this reward is going to be given. He's coming to receive his people and to bring us home to glory. What a wonder is set before us here in this chapter. I come quickly. And what did the saints say? Even so come, Lord Jesus. We look forward to that. That's our hope. That's our prospect. That's our comfort. One day this will be over. This is a short little time. Then we shall enter into the eternal weight of glory. I hope you're in. I hope you're counted in tonight as a believer in the Lord Jesus. And you will say, when you see Christ, it shall be worth it all. It was worth it all. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I hope that I can be of personal help to you if you have prayer requests, prayer needs, and of course, if you can read the Bible, go to the Bible. That's the key need as you would seek God's salvation. And I would recommend John's Gospel. Read John's Gospel. Pray the Lord will open your mind and heart to understand the way of salvation. In these times of fear and almost panic in our land, this is the true place to find peace. We are called to prepare to meet our God, but we need to know the Savior, and you need to call upon him to save you from your sins. I also want to invite you to join with us each day at this time for these programs on your local station. I also want to invite you on Sundays to listen in to our webcast from our Free Presbyterian Church. These are online services by webcast. Now go to our website at 10:30 Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday evenings, Pacific time, here in Greater Vancouver, and go to cloverdalefpc.ca. And at 10:30 and 6 p.m. local time here in Vancouver, you can join us for our online services. Now, my cell number is 604-897-2040. And I look forward to hearing from you. Give me a call, send me an email. Let me know you're tuning in. May God bless you through his word.